I invite you to open your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The verse also is going to be on the screen. And before we read, let us pray. Lord, may you bless your word. May you give me grace, Lord, to speak and give us ears to listen and hearts, Lord, to receive your word and live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. You all know, I have shared to you before, that I read Proverbs every day. And so, no wonder, I want to start the day speaking and preaching and talking about Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. I do believe it's so fit for the beginning of the year, these words of Solomon to us. Let me read for you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the title of my message today, it's New Year, Old Truth. New Year, Old Truth. I'm going to draw three things from this verse today for us. But before we go there, let me point out some important things. First of all, for Solomon, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of the whole book of Proverbs. No matter what you're going to learn from Proverbs, you must have the fear of the Lord. It's the foundation. If I could illustrate to you, it's just like the key. The key is what opens the door for you to a certain place. The fear of the Lord is the key that opens the door of knowledge and wisdom to our lives. That's clear for Solomon. That's clear in this verse. The second thing we must understand is see that Solomon chooses the word Lord. He says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He could have used the fear of God. But then he would face a big problem, especially in our day and age. People think that everything, everyone, it's God. So if he had said the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, people would think, oh, my God gives me knowledge. Some people think that the universe is God. So if I get to know the universe, I'm going to become knowledgeable. I'm going to become wise. So Solomon, to avoid this misconception and to avoid this problem, he uses the word Lord. And who is the Lord? The God of the covenant. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The God of the Bible, the God of Holy Scriptures. To fear him, it's to become knowledgeable. To fear him, it's to become wise. To fear someone else or something else, you will never gonna become wise. It's actually foolishness. So these two things super important. But now the third thing that it's super important. Both ancient culture and our culture, they believe that knowledge can be attained through study, which is true. So how do you study something? You get that particular thing and you take it away and you analyze it, you examine it, you take notes, and then you are studying that thing and you are becoming knowledgeable about that thing. That's how you study and learn. That's how ancient culture believed. That's how our culture believes. But Solomon goes beyond that. He says, wisdom can be attained when you look around. However, true wisdom can only be obtained if first you look up. And then you see the Most High. Then you see the Lord. Then you see God. And then you're going to see how wise, how powerful he is. And you don't stop there. Then you look inside, and then you're going to see that you need him, that you depend on him. He is great and you are lowly. And only after you feared him, only after you approached him, then you can look around and you draw wisdom from the things. So when we understand that, now we're going to use that for our 2023. Let me draw the truth that I want us to live, that I want us to use, that I want us to act in 2023. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And my first point, it's coming on the screen. The fear of the Lord draws you near to God. The fear of the Lord draws you near to God. Some people, even in church or out of church, they have the misconception that if you fear the Lord, you're going to go far from God. If you fear the Lord, you better stay away from him. But that's not true. If I see someone who is closer to God, if I see someone who spend time praying, who spend time on the scriptures, who spend time devoting his life to God, I know that that person fears God. Because the fear of the Lord is going to draw him near to God. I'll give you an illustration with two men of the Bible that we all know. First man of the Bible, Moses. He had an encounter with God in the burning bush. He saw the Lord. The Lord said, "You're standing on holy ground. Take off your sandals. I am your God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I came to rescue your people." Let me read to you Moses' words when he saw God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. God said, "I am the God of thy father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." See now Moses' reaction. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. This is the fear of the Lord in Moses' heart. And then you might ask me, "So Gustavo, he was afraid, he was scared." But let me tell you, or let me show who Moses became after this encounter with God, in which he has the fear of the Lord. The leader of the nation of Israel, the deliverer of the nation of Israel, through Moses, God, the one he feared, performed miracles, signs, and wonder. Moses was the one who wrote most of the Old Testament. Moses was the great prophet of his nation. But this one is the best. Moses used to talk to God face to face. Just as a friend talked to another, Moses used to talk to God face to face. It all began with an encounter with the Lord and with the fear of the Lord. Once he feared God, he came closer to God. Second man, the Apostle Paul. We all know who was the Apostle Paul. Again, I'm going to read to you the Apostle Paul's words when he saw the Lord Jesus. He was going to the road of Damascus, as we all know, and then he saw the risen Lord. And he found out that everything that the disciples were saying, that Jesus was alive, that Jesus has risen, that Jesus was the King, that Jesus was the Lord and Messiah. When he saw all of that, look at the first reaction that Paul had. It's in Acts chapter 22, verse 6. Let me just find here. Acts chapter 22, verse 6. No, verse 10. Sorry. Verse 10. And I said, this is Paul saying, quote, "What shall I do, Lord?" He sees Jesus and his first reaction is, "What shall I do, Lord?" And let me be very honest to you. A healthy Christianity, a healthy salvation begins when we see Jesus and we ask him that question. Jesus comes to you and say, "I'm saving you." Our first answer should be, "What shall I do with such a salvation?" Jesus comes to you and forgive you from your sins. Your first answer should be, "What shall I do with such forgiveness?" He comes to you and tells you, "I'm giving you new life, a new opportunity, purpose. Lord, what shall I do with the opportunity, life, and purpose you are giving to me?" That's where salvation begins, with the fear of the Lord after you have an encounter through him. And who was the Apostle Paul? The greater leader of Christianity in the first century, the greater missionary of Christianity in the first century. He, just like Moses, was the one who wrote most of the New Testament. He claimed that he used to pray more than anyone else. He claimed that he used to work for Christ more than anyone else. He claimed that he was able to suffer for Christ more than anyone else. It all began with the fear of the Lord. So my application for us today is this. In this year, I want us to draw ourselves near to God because we fear him. If we come closer to God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's a great path. It's a great way to go. It's a great way to have a blessed, fulfilled, purposeful 2023. Draw yourselves near to God. Me, I drew myself near to God because of the fear of the Lord. This is the first thing I want to take from this verse. The second thing I want to take from this verse, let's see it coming up on the screen. Theology is done on one's knees. Theology is done on one's knees. Super fancy and hard sentence. In Portuguese, it sounds way more easy. But in English, it sounds a little bit hard. Theology is done on one's knees. What do I mean with that statement? What is theology? The meaning of the word theology. It comes from a Greek word called theo, theos, God, and logi, logia, which means study. So theology is simply the study about God. Again, how do we study things in our culture, in our society? Let's talk about this friend of ours, not friend, our enemy of ours that was around from 2020 and is still around, coronavirus. How do the scientists study the coronavirus? They take the virus, again, they see the virus, and they examine it. And they take notes, and they see how fast does it spread, how fast does it mutate, how lethal it is, what can I do to prevent, how can I kill it, so on and so forth. Thousands and thousands of questions, thousands and thousands of outcomes, they are studying that virus. It is not how we study God. It's not how we get to know God. And that's why the phrase is this: theology is done on one's knees. Because when we talk about studying God or knowing God, it's actually the opposite. We can't take God and study Him because He goes beyond everything. But He does to us. We must be the people that does this to God and say, God, search my heart. God, sound me. God, see in me what must be changed. And so that's why this sentence is there, and it's so powerful. Theology, to get to know God, to come closer to God, it's done with your knees. And what does knee talks about? Our knees talks about prayer. Think about godly men and women of God. They were all and always men and women of prayer. Think about Job, righteous man, a man of prayer. As soon as I went to Bible college to become a minister, I very quick, I found out that ministry wasn't done on my diplomas, degree, talent, gifts, performance. Ministry was done on my knees, filling my study life with prayer, filling my service with prayer, filling my daily life with prayer. Because theology is not done with this, but on my knees. The first beatitude, the first sermon that Jesus ever preached, how did he begin? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. That's the door that puts you into the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the ones who fear the Lord. Blessed are the ones who put their knees down before the Lord. And not only to quote Jesus, let me show you Jesus teaching us how to get to know God, teaching us how to, quote, to do theology. When Jesus took humanity on himself and became flesh for us, he is teaching us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When Jesus lived on earth a life of prayer, he lived praying. He was always praying. It was the first thing he did. Sometimes he refused to sleep to pray the whole night because prayer was so important to him. He teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When he goes to the Gethsemane and he tells to his father, not my will, but thy will, he is teaching us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When he embraces the cross to die for us, he is teaching us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. His last words on the cross, my Father, in thy hands I give you my spirit, I command my spirit. He is teaching us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And if I could give you the perfect picture about Jesus with the fear of the Lord, although he was as powerful as the lion, the king as the lion, he became as humble as the lamb for our sake. The lion, the victory, the glory, Jesus teaches us that it's in fact to become like the lamb, to be humble like the lamb, to do theology on our knees. This is Jesus teaching us the fear of the Lord. What's my application for this year, 2023? I want us to pray more than ever but more than prayer, to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So my first point, the fear of the Lord draws you near to God. My second point, the fear of the Lord makes you humble. And the third point, all good things. And the third point is the cherry on the cake. Everybody understand this, right? Cherry on the cake? Yeah, good. The third point is this, rewards of fearing God. If you fear God, you're going to be blessed. It's automatically. I'll read Proverbs 19, verse 12. A king's rage is like the roar of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. The king's rage is like the roar of the lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. One king, two different actions, two different attitudes, two different outcomes. Why? Because of the subjects. It all depends on the king's subjects. It all depends on the people he is standing in front of. To the people, to the subjects who dishonor the king, disobey the king, if they could vote like we vote, they could vote against the king. To those people, the king roar like the lion. And what the roar of the lion tells us? It talks about three D's: danger, defeat, and death. If you go outside and you see the lion, you're going to feel all these three right away. Danger, you're in danger, you might be defeated or you might die. So you better run. That's the roar of the lion. And that's the roar of the king when the subjects do not honor him. But there are the other subjects, the ones who fear the king. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And to those, the king, it's like the dew on the grass. It's a favor. It's the blessing. And what does that teach us? Three things. It makes your life to flourish. It makes your life beautiful. And it makes your life useful. That's the favor of the Lord. So when you fear the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge, life begins to flourish, begins to be beautiful, and begins to become useful in his hand. This is the first reward, but there is a second reward that we all take for granted. We barely see it. Sometimes we don't even count it as a blessing. You guys, everyone gonna understand me now. Everybody drove here? Everybody? Even if you didn't drive, were you in a car? Sometimes you get to intersections, correct? There is a sign that we hate. All of us don't like. There is a sign in every intersection or most of the intersections. Stop. Sometimes there is nobody on the road and you need to stop. Oh my God. However, life has so many roads. So many roads. And some of the roads, sketchy, dark. As Proverbs says, some roads we think are life, but at the end they are dead. Some roads take us far from God. And what's the fear of the Lord? It's the best stop sign that we have in life. When you are in the intersections of life and you need to turn to the right, to the left, go ahead, or U-turn, there is the fear of the Lord that is the best stop sign that warns you to not do what you should do, to not go on that path, to not go into alliance with that partner, with that business, to not do anything. That's the fear of the Lord. It's the best stop sign on the roads of our lives. Think about Joseph, great man of God. He refused adultery, stop sign, because he feared God so much. Think about David, the great King David. King Saul was persecuting David, was trying to kill him out of jealousy. David was in the cave. Saul came to the cave. David could kill Saul, protect himself, avenge himself, become king right away. But he refused to stretch his hand against the anointed of the Lord because he fears God so much. He fears God so much that even to touch someone who belongs to the Lord, he can do. That's the stop sign that Joseph, that David had in their hearts. And I do believe that we all do in our lives. Sometimes we go to wrong paths. We do some choices in life. And maybe later, 1 week or 2 months later, and you say, like, you look at back and you say, like, I was feeling something wasn't right. I was feeling I should have not do that. And the outcome wasn't the best. I should have answered. I should have obeyed. I should have accepted that stop sign that it was in my heart, that it was in my mind, that it is in the scriptures. That's the reward of the fear of the Lord. He protects you from things, places, people, outcomes that you really don't want to be in. So these are the two rewards that, again, this year, 2023, I want us to be blessed by the Lord because we learned, we do fear Him. And then we are becoming knowledgeable, we are becoming wise, and we are becoming blessed. Amen? Everything understood? Amen. I'm going to bring this to conclusion. And I want to conclude about something that it's so pertinent, so today, for us as a church. First, I want you to know a little bit of me as your pastor with the fear of the Lord. Today is December 1st, 2023. Last year, in this very season, holidays, I took vacation and I did not go to Brazil. I did not go to Mexico, I did not go to Cuba, I did not go to Muskoka, I did not go to any nice place. Canada is nice too. I didn't go to Toronto downtown. I didn't go. I choose to go to my former pastor, the one from Vida Nova. I choose to go to his house. And if you are Canadians, Brazilians are like that. We go to people's house and we don't even say. We just say like, hey, I'm on my way. Get some food ready for me. If you don't have, I'll bring something. And I went to his house. And I stayed with him for 4 to 5 days. The man would wake up. I'm waking up. The man went to his room to sleep. I went to my room to sleep. He would go to church, I'm in the church. He went to visit people, I'm visiting. Whatever he did, I am doing. Whatever he asked, if he asked me jump from the floor, I'm jumping. I did everything. Why? I said, I need to learn from him. I need to learn from someone who knows what he's doing. I need to learn from someone who is the model, who is the reference. I need to learn. I know I don't know. I know I need improvements. I know. So let me spend this time with him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In such a humbleness, in such a fear of the Lord, I learned so much from him. And coincidence or not, 1 year later, God gives me the grace to put into practice everything that I saw him doing on the little vacation that I choose to have with him. See how God does the things. First you fear him, and then he gives you, and then he sets you up. First you learn. In life, everything's like this. First you learn, then you do. First you're young, then you have a family. First you are a kid, then you become parent. That's how life works. So this is me as the minister here. First, before becoming a minister, first I decided to fear God and to learn from someone who I really needed to learn from. The second illustration I want to give to us as a church again. Sometimes we look at the past and we can't get over the past, or we can't leave the past behind. Either it's too good to be truth, either it's too bad that we can't forget it. So I heard this story that changed my life. A wise man gathered some people, and those people, they were always thinking and talking about the past, either good or bad. And that man said, you know what? I'm going to resolve this problem once forever. He cracked a joke on them, and then everybody laughed. Good joke. 5 minutes later, what does he do? He cracked the same joke. And then half people laugh, and half they didn't laugh. 5 minutes later, again, he cracks the same joke the third time, and then nobody laughs. And right away he nails it. He says, the joke loses its flavor if you keep repeating it, if you keep hanging on to it, if you do not forget it, and if you do not seek for new jokes, it loses flavor. Leave the past, leave the stories, do not hang or love or cry so much. There is new jokes, there is new life, there is something ahead for you. Otherwise, it's going to lose the flavor. Don't do that to your life. So, 2023, I want us to see the past, and it was a tough season for all of us, for the churches in Ontario, with lockdowns, with mandates, so on and so forth. But that joke has no fun anymore. Let's come up with new jokes and new stories for 2023. And my last example that we're going to do as a church, and it's going to be so clear to you. Year by year, life, church life, our life, everything is just like a book. What shall I do if I want to finish this book? What shall I do? Flip the page. Just turn it. Some pages are so good. Some chapters we want to stay there forever. Some chapters are hard, and we want to skip it. We want to read like this. You know when you're reading and your mind zones out and you go to another place? Some pages of life are hard like that. But no matter how it is, if we want to finish the book, Turn the page on. So, 2022, we turned the page. And now we're going to look ahead for 2023. And I know the Lord has so much for us. One, because of his grace. My two, because when we fear God, it's sure that we're going to have a wonderful 2023. With that spirit, with that heart, with that mindset, surely we're going to become wise, successful, and the Lord will be with us and will bless us. So flip the page. Amen? Stand up for the benediction. And after the benediction, we're going to hear our last song. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May in 2023 His face shine upon you and He grants you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.